T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back in the Keys studios. This is John Truck Michaud hanging out with you here on a Tuesday night. 404-741-0929. That is the phone line. That is also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with us. Don't forget, we stream online at 929thegame.com. Catch us live and replays on the new and improved website. Download the radio.com app. Put that on your device. That way you can catch us on the go and the cool new listen back in real time feature. All the social media for the stations at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Best way to follow this show is through my personal Twitter handle. I'm at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Jahi hanging out with me tonight, as Jarvis will be back on Thursday with us. So you may not be familiar with this Michael Avenatti trial that is going on right now up in New York. If you remember, Michael Avenatti is the lawyer who was, you know, defending Stormy Daniels in her lawsuit against the president and all this kind of stuff. You know, was on all the talking head things and stuff like that. And then he, got in trouble. What was it? His dealings with Nike and things like that. I'm trying to remember what the exact charges are, you know, against him. But it's not hard to find, all the crazy stuff that's going on to him. But what's one of the interesting stories about this trial, and we talk here all the time on the show about how dirty college basketball is. And I say it all the time. It's the dirtiest sport going. And, you know, it's always funny because anytime I bring up Roy Williams, I got a guy, a buddy of mine that works at the one of the gas stations I go to right by where I live, and he's a big UNC guy. He's got UNC license plate, and he's always wearing UNC gear and all that kind of stuff. And he got all upset at me a few weeks ago when I called Roy Williams and them cheaters, because they are. They all cheat. And he puts on that, you know, Roy Williams, like all these guys, puts on that all shucks, you know, kind of thing. But it's such a dirty, dirty sport. And, you know, Avenatti made the claims about Nike making payments to then Arizona star DeAndre Ayton, who's now obviously in the NBA, playing for what? The Phoenix Suns right now. So on Monday, in testimony, the Nike attorney, Scott Wilson, was up on the stand testifying. And one of the interesting things that he said is that it says a business consultant testified that Nike directed payments to the families and handlers of high school basketball players. And a Nike attorney did not deny the company had made payments to players. Quote, "I've never told the government there was no evidence of Nike making payments to players." Now, that's directly from Nike attorney Scott Wilson. Okay. He also testified there's still a quote-unquote ongoing investigation of Nike by the Securities and Exchange Commission, and that Nike's internal investigation of corrupt payments to grassroots basketball players was still ongoing. It says here that after Wilson concluded his testimony, consultant Jeff Auerbach of the L.A.-based firm Bedford Consulting testified that Nike directed Gary Franklin, the longtime director of the Nike-sponsored Cal Supreme AAU basketball program, to make payments to the families and handlers of DeAndre Ayton, Bol Bol, and Brandon McCoy, including a $10,000 cash payment to Ayton's mother, Andrea, back on June 29th, 2016. Auerbach said, quote, "Gary had been directed to make cash payments to several players," and he testified to all this. Auerbach testified that Franklin was also directed to falsify records and, quote, unquote, redirect wire payments and forward them to players' handlers. Auerbach specifically identified payments of $10,000 made in 2016 to Andrea Ayton while her son was still in high school and a high-profile player at Cal Supreme. Ayton later enrolled at Hillcrest Prep in Arizona and was a one-and-done player under Sean Miller as well. So they go and they talk about some of the different players and stuff like that. So it says on Monday afternoon, Avenatti's defense team presented a falsified invoice to Nike EYBL, Elite Youth Basketball League, from Cal Supreme, dated on June 20, 2016. It details payments to the handlers and family members of Ayton and McCoy. And so in a quick breakdown, this is how the falsified invoice had it broke down. A $28,000 bank wire payment to Melvin McDonald, who was DeAndre Ayton's handler, on April 4th. $30,000 to McDonald. The AAU coach got $15,000, $10,000 to Andrea Ayton, $5,000 for travel expenses, $10,000 check to Sean Manning, McCoy's handler, $2,500 cash payment to him, $5,000 paid with Cal Supreme credit cards for Andre related travel out there. Asked by the government if there's any explanation given as to why the payments were for, Auerbach testified no. So, pretty interesting, you know, when you read through all of this, to where Nike really doesn't deny the idea that they sent money to players. Now, are we shocked by all of this as I read that? Of course not. Because if you've been conditioned to understand how dirty collegiate athletics is, and especially college basketball, and all the, you know, all the haters can come on out and defend the sport and defend this guy and defend that guy. Okay. And then of course, when you say, you know, well, not everybody. Yeah, everybody. Everybody to a degree does something. Some guys get away with a lot more than others. It's just the reality of the situation, you know? Just the reality of the situation. But when you read all of that, it's fascinating because, yeah, it's... It's so funny when people want to try to tie in about student athletes and things like that. It's not. It's a business. It's a business proposition. College basketball is big business. The NCAA, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. I'm going to repeat that. 501c3 nonprofit organization. That's the NCAA. That's their standing. Okay. They roll around almost $900 million a year because they run the collegiate basketball tournament, okay, plus everything else that goes on. Now, they don't run bowl games and things like that, but they run their main thing, obviously, is they run it. Besides being the governing body, they run the collegiate basketball tournament. And so cash money from TV and all that goes directly to them and then gets distributed through all the different avenues and stuff like that, because they're the ones that negotiate all of that. So it is a dirty sport. It's been a dirty sport, but it's also a business. It's also a business. Recruiting is a business. You know, should Sean Miller, you know, be the coach of Arizona? No, after things like this, but it's the nature of the sport. Jim Boeheim playing academically ineligible players that he knew were academically ineligible. And what do you get, 9 games for it? Oh, well, Coach K wouldn't do anything like that. Okay. You think just his good charm is what brought Zion Williamson and guys like that down to Duke? I think R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson just went to Duke because, you know, of the charm and charisma of Coach K? It's business, guys. And if you're a legit one and done, it's all business. There is no educational aspect of it. It doesn't mean that in 15 years, like Marcus Camby, you know, 15, 20 years later, doesn't say that he can't go back and get his degree. He may very well do that. But right now, he's in the business of Zion Williamson. He's in the business of taking care of that guy and maximizing and cashing in when he can. So is Ben Simmons and Andrew Wiggins and all those guys. They're in the business of cashing in while they can. So to hear Nike and all that kind of stuff not denied, why should they? What's going to happen to Nike? Yeah, you're going to shut down Nike? Of course not. Is Nike going to go away from having influence in the world of collegiate athletics? Of course not. Will Nike be, you know, hurt by the branding of this? No. Because the smart marks already knew that. Smart marks already understand. Where do you, how do you think the, you know, when you talk about these things, you know, do you think these coaches make millions of dollars because the school themselves pays millions of dollars? If you're at a state-run university, you have a cap as to how much you make in salary from that particular school. You know, the University of Georgia has a cap on how much Kirby Smart makes directly from the school, but money comes in from shoe deals and this and that and, you know, and a booster and all this. And that's how you get up to it. But there is a salary for employees of the states, right? Like, you understand that? That, like, if you're at the state school as the football or basketball coach, whatever like that, there is a cap on your salary. Money comes in from Adidas or Nike or, you know, whatever like that. So it's all business at that point. It's all business. Now, that's not illegal. You know, obviously what Nike's doing to players is illegal. But that's what this sport is. So if you want to live in this fantasy land about what college basketball is, or think your program doesn't get involved in stuff like this, you got your head buried in the sand. Everybody knows it. Everybody understands it, and everybody lives with it. All right, when we get back, Sarah Spencer going to join us. She's the beat writer for the Atlanta Hawks for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Lots going on around the Atlanta Hawks. We'll talk to her up next. Chuck Reed, the Key Studios on Sports Radio, 910 The Game. Welcome back in the Key Studios on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuck Reed Show as we come to you live on a Tuesday night. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Follow me on social media at JMCH316. Well, right now, the Atlanta Hawks resemble a MASH unit with bodies going down left and right. Rumors of trade. Trey Young has got more activity at the All-Star game. There's a lot to get into. We go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Joining us is Sarah K. Spencer. Of course, she's the Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can follow her on Twitter at Sarah_K_Spence. Sarah, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
So you're one of the only people left that surrounds the Hawks that's healthy. Are you battling any injuries right now that we need to know about?
You know, I had bronchitis about a month ago, and I've been available ever since.
Okay.
For a while there, I was just straight up out. You're right. I mean, they, like, seven guys, were unavailable to play, the other night in that loss to Boston. So, I'm looking at the injury report right now, and it's just not really getting much shorter. This is already a really young team, and injuries stacking up at this time of year. Everyone's a little banged up, but, injuries are really stacking up for this group. Especially with both of their young, wings out, with DeAndre Hunter, and Cam Reddish both out, that really hurts them, because those are the two guys that they really look to for, you know, pretty much they're guarding the other team's best guys every night. That's really hurting them for sure.
Sarah, you know, is it a matter of just calling guys up from, you know, their G leagues and things like that? Or, you know, do they have to go try to find a few bodies if any of these, you know, injuries are going to linger along?
Well, I mean, I think if they're going to find any bodies, it's not going to be like injury necessarily motivated. The injuries that they have are not things that are going to, at least like the handful of guys that are kind of their young core. Those aren't injuries. It's like, you know, Hunter's out with a left ankle sprain. Cam Reddish is out with a concussion. And Bruno Fernandez out with a left calf strain. So these are guys who are, you know, questionable to play. Cam Reddish is out, but these are guys who are questionable to play tomorrow in Minnesota. So if they're going to make any kind of moves, it's not going to be based off injuries. It's going to be based off, you know, what they're actually kind of trying to do big picture.
Sarah Spencer joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline, Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. So a lot of rumors going around, Clint Capela. There's still talk about, you know, Andre Drummond. I think you and I talked about that a while back. But is it becoming a situation where you really feel like that they're going to make a move? I mean, we have Travis Schlenk on our morning show every week here, and obviously he can't really comment, you know, on that. But are you getting the sense that they are geared up to be buyers of some sort at the trade deadline coming up?
I mean, it's possible. I think the main thing that I think has gotten a little turned around is that so I have been told that they're not really actively looking. You know, just because they get a question about John Collins doesn't mean they're looking to do anything with him, right? So, yeah, I mean, of course, they're going to get some attention with John, and especially how he's been playing this season since he came back from suspension. But they're young core guys. So I'm talking John Collins, Trae Young, Kevin Huerter, DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish. Those are not guys they're looking to do anything with. Those are not guys they're looking to move at the deadline. I mean, obviously, you know, you can get an overwhelming offer. You kind of always have to have that caveat. But I think if they do anything, it'll be like moving an expiring contract, for someone who can, you know, for someone who can hopefully fit in pretty well. So I think it just depends on, you know, I mean, I think there's a couple trades that are kind of involving a handful of teams, and it's just going to depend on what pieces can fall into place for them without moving one of those guys that they really do see as a long-term piece for them.
Sarah, how excuse me, and I'm fighting a little bit of a cold, so I apologize, but
you're questionable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, put me on the maybe sort of list. You know, Clint Capela is a name that we're hearing, and you know, when you look at him, he fills a need. He's young. He's still got some control in his contract. You know, is that a guy that, you know, we talk about expiring contracts and stuff like that, but that's a legitimate guy who can come in here and be part of this youth movement. And, you know, he's not, going away next year automatically. Is that a name and a scenario that makes sense for the Hawks?
You know, it's intriguing. For me, I think it's really intriguing. I think fit, there's been a lot of different, you know, things written about this and a lot of different theories on this, and people have different opinions, and that's fine. I'm not sure how well Clint Capela fits in with John Collins, who, you know, I mean, the Hawks definitely see him. He can obviously play small ball five, but he's primarily a power forward. And I think with both of those guys, John Collins is obviously, he can, you know, flat out fly to the rim. Like he's a really good rim runner. And you know, I'm not sure if I see him though as being enough of a shooter to be like that four with Clint Capela at the five. I'm not totally sure if I see that as being the best fit, but you know, I mean, that could certainly, you know, you never know until you see it, I guess, you know, there's only one way to see that happen. So I definitely hear what you're saying. I think he's only 25. I think it would be, that is the Hawks' glaring, like absolutely glaring need right now, is like having that rim protecting center. That's a big thing that's preventing them from winning. They're just a really, really bad defensive team. And when John plays at the five, he's a small ball five. He can't really defend Joel Embiid the way that you would want your starting center to be able to do. So I think it could work, but I'm not positive that it would work. It's just hard. It's, you know, it's a theory. So I see what people are saying, but I'm not quite positive that it would work with the way that John plays.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the John Chuckery Show coming to you live on a Tuesday night. We're on the Wade Ford .com hotline. Sarah Spencer joining us, Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, as the Hawks get back into action coming up tomorrow night. You know, we heard Trae Young obviously is going to take part in the three-point contest now, besides being a starter for the Eastern Conference. You know, I had Brian Scalabrine on last Thursday or Friday, and I thought he had an interesting comment about, you know, building the brand in this organization. And for as great as Trae Young is, he made the comparison to Allen Iverson, that he wonders about whether or not they can get enough good players to go around him, a la kind of what happened with Allen Iverson. How important do you think All-Star Weekend is for Trae Young, and more importantly, the brand of the Hawks a franchise that, truthfully, Sarah, as you know, been here for 27 years, they've never landed that guy to come and want to be here. How important do you think all of this is for Trae Young and in building the brand of the Hawks?
Yeah, I'm actually really glad you asked that. I had a conversation with Lloyd Pierce about that when Trae was named an all-star starter. And Lloyd was basically saying, which, by the way, he's going to have a crazy all-star weekend. He's got the Rising Stars game Friday, three-point contest Saturday, and then starting in the all-star game Sunday. And I'm going to be in Chicago, too, so I'm going to be bouncing around pretty much everywhere with him. But yeah, basically I had a conversation with Lloyd when Trae was named as an all-star, and I think he kind of sees it the way you just said it. Like, they are trying to build something that, you know, obviously is centered around Trae. And, you know, Trae, if you actually watch the Hawks game in and game out, like, you see what a playmaker he is. You see how players, how he sets guys up. You know, you see how big of an asset that it is, you know, for players to play alongside him, because he's always going to be there to set you up. Lloyd basically said, you know, when we're building the franchise that we want to build, like, this is where it starts. Like, Trae having the platform to go to Chicago, represent Atlanta, even though our record's not near what we want it to be. You know, he was able to get that nod, even though the Hawks are struggling, and that's where it starts for Atlanta, is being able to build around him and him getting that attention despite the Hawks' record. And then hopefully, you know, that's how you attract guys, you know, whether it's in free agency, wherever, that's how you attract guys, is by building that excitement. And Trae's an exciting player. He's exciting to watch, and he's exciting to play alongside too, you know, from everything that I've heard from the guys that I've talked to.
Sarah Spencer on the waitfor.com hotline with us, Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal Constitution. Last thing for you, Sarah, with about a minute or so left.
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean anything? I mean, if you're not in the playoffs, you're not in the playoffs. But does it mean anything if this franchise doesn't put up a better record year over year? They're not on pace to win as many games this year as they were last year. Is there anything to read into that, as we're not quite two-thirds of the way through the season, but we're awful close?
You know, a little bit. I get this question a lot, and it's hard even for me to quite know how to answer it, because, you know, it happens in the league. Like, guys get injured. It happens. Guys get suspended. Hopefully not. But for the Hawks, it's just so hard to gauge what would have happened this year. And obviously you can play coulda, woulda, shoulda all day long, but it's really hard to gauge what they would have done this year had John Collins not gotten suspended for 25 games, which just completely tore a hole in what they were trying to do. I mean, he's such a big piece, you know, of their success. Not having him for 25 games really killed them. And then also Kevin Huerter really wasn't healthy until pretty much like December. Those are you know, probably their second and third best players this season. So it's hard. Is this a really disheartening season so far? Yeah, that's very safe to say. Because they wanted to take a step forward. That's what they were talking about. You know, regardless of, I don't think they were going as crazy as like, ooh, let's, you know, grab that 8 seed, but they wanted to take a step forward from 29 wins. Like, they wanted to do that, and that's fallen on its face this year. But it's just hard to kind of isolate why. You know, it's hard to isolate, like, well, if John had been there and if Kevin had been healthy. Those guys still haven't played together that much. That trio of John, Kevin, and Trae, they really haven't played together that much, which is crazy at this point in the season. So yes, it's a disappointment for sure. But it's also kind of almost a question mark, because it's like, what can those guys do when they're all together? Sometimes when they're on the court all together, they're playing well, you know, and this is a competitive team. It's just that, unfortunately, there's been so many moving parts this year that it's kind of been a rarity.
Follow her on Twitter. She is at Sarah_K_Spence. She is the Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and she joined us on the waitfor.com hotline. Sarah Spencer, always appreciate it. Thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking to you here as we just keep rolling along this season.
Thanks, guys.
Stay healthy. There you go. All right, when we get back, time for What's Bugging Chukri. Can we please stop with all the faux outrage? Because that's where we're at in 2020. Faux outrage from everybody. Talk about it next. Chukri in the Key Studios on Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios on the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here on a Tuesday night, 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. Give us a follow on Twitter. Station's at 929 The Game. All the social media is there at 929 The Game. I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is, of course, all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Still a lot to get into this evening. We'll get to a Falcons flyover coming up at the top of the hour, but I got to get something off my chest. It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, obviously, the Super Bowl stirred up some controversy, and no, nothing to do with the game or anything like that and anything that happened. It, of course, had to revolve around the halftime show, which featured Shakira and featured Jennifer Lopez. Now, the game, of course, was in Miami, okay, and very much paid tribute to, you know, the Hispanic Latina culture and community that surrounds Miami, which is kind of, I don't know, if you're asking me, kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Right? I mean, if you're in that home city, you got to have artists that reflect the music, not Maroon 5. But anyway, that anger aside or what have you, because it's still 2018 in the world, and because Jennifer Lopez and Shakira, who, I don't know, are drop-dead gorgeous, great dancers, great bodies, you know, you watch their videos, you've seen them perform, they dance and they do all kinds of stuff, right? High-octane, high-energy performance. This wasn't a new phenomenon that came along here. But again, because we're still living in 2018, the faux outrage crew was out. Oh, my gosh. How could they do it? She's swinging on a pole. Okay. Now, it is kind of funny because Adam Levine, the year before, was, you know, half naked, no shirt on, with his tattoos and everything like that, but you know, that wasn't, I guess, a big deal, but because Shakira and Jennifer Lopez wear any sort of revealing outfit, which that's kind of what they do, and frankly, you should celebrate. J-Lo's what, 50? Okay? I know 25-year-olds that don't look as good as J-Lo, okay? She should celebrate how gorgeous and what a great body and everything, and talent and everything else to go along with that there. But the faux outrage crowd was having it. My favorite ones on social media were the people that said, oh my gosh, this was like pornography on my TV. I couldn't believe what I was watching. Let me see if I can straighten this out. And I want to make sure that I'm crystal clear on this particular subject, okay? I know what pornography is. I've seen plenty of pornography in my life. I can identify it very clearly. I've appreciated pornography very much in my life at times. That wasn't pornography. I can assure you, if you come hang with me, you can go on one of 900 gazillion free sites if you really want to see porn. I think it's kind of insulting in a lot of ways to describe that with Jennifer Lopez and Shakira, two people who are immensely talented. Because guess what? That's part of the celebration of what they do. And by the way, if you didn't know that going in, what planet have you been on? Oh, I couldn't let my kids watch. Did you think Jennifer Lopez was going to come out in a parka and sweatpants? What exactly did you think J-Lo, who sings Jenny from the Block? Okay? What did you ever see that video when she's on the boat with Ben? Okay, what did you think she was going to come out in? How exactly did you think? You ever seen Shakira's videos? What did you think that performance was? She's coming out to sing I'm a Musketeer? So if you were stupid enough to not understand going into it, that yeah, it's probably going to be high-octane, high energy, little bit less clothing. That's kind of the gimmick. Rule number one in life, everybody's got a gimmick. Rule number two is deny everything. But rule number one is everybody's got a gimmick. Okay? But the full outrage crowd, oh my gosh. I can't believe the Super Bowl would allow. I watched that performance. I thought it was fantastic. Are you kidding me? What do I tell you guys? Are you kidding me? Waiting for tonight. And what's the one that the only thing that was missing, by the way, was Pitbull. Somehow they had a fake Ali G guy that was. Who's that guy? He's not Ali G. Who is that guy? Bad Bunny. That was the Bad Bunny was obviously the inspiration for Ali G. But that aside, should have had Pitbull out there. But are you kidding me? Waiting for tonight on the floor? That's treadmill music for me. Are you kidding me? How can you play on the floor and not want to dance and boogie and get down? That's what that song is. What do you think Shakira sings, you know, hips don't lie, as she's wearing sweatpants and a winter coat? You didn't know that, Chief? Chooch? Booby? But the faux outrage crowd. Ugh. But, you know, again, as I say, we're still living in 2018. Everybody's got to be offended by everything that goes on. And if you're offended, what I don't get is, why is it so important to get on social media to proclaim your offendedness? When did that become a thing to make sure everybody knows your level of offendedness by what something goes on? Especially, by the way, in something, I don't know, I really don't understand. Well, first of all, I didn't think it was very risque, I mean, with all due respect. But I really don't know what your expectation was when you put Shakira and J-Lo up there. It's high octane, high energy, gorgeous women. They're going to entertain, they're going to dance. That's what they do. That's what they do. Like I said, go watch that video, Jenny from the Block. There's a million of them like that. Or Shakira, whatever, whenever. Go watch those videos. How old are those songs? When did Whatever, Whenever come out? About a decade ago? Maybe more than that? Oh, my God, 20 years? I know Jennifer Lopez was about 20 years ago on some of that stuff, like Jenny from the Block. What did you think was going to happen with all of that? I say they were fantastic. I thought the performances were great. I enjoyed it. Now, listen, they put all those dopey people that are fake plants in the crowd and stuff like that. Those people are all, it's all a dopey fest from there. But I tell you, I don't know how you can knock their talent, their performance, and how much fun that show really was. But I keep forgetting, it's still 2018. We have to have the faux outrage crowd lead the way. Because I don't know what they were expecting when those two girls were announced to be the halftime show. And that's what's bugging Chuckery. 404-741-0929 is the phone line. It's also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Give us your faux outrage on everything. Something I do enjoy, though, is pettiness. And there was plenty of NBA pettiness going on around the world today, especially on the tweeters. We'll talk about that next. Chuckery in the Key Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.